going on, everybody? My name is Misa.
And my name is Mia.
Also known as Eminem. And you are listening to your number one source of inspiration for this generation. You already know it's Eminem Live Radio. Listen, we help Christian millennials navigate life by pointing them to Jesus. That's why we are here. And I'm here with my sister. What's going on, Mia?
What's going on, Misa? What's good, everybody? Listen, shout out to everyone that's tuned into your girls right here, right now on You Already Know It's Eminem Live Radio. Really quick, shout out to our Patreon community,
yes.
The movement, man. Listen, our ladies have been moving. It goes within the name of the movement. And, man, we've been making such great strides and really closing out this year strong. And, listen, if you're looking for a community, an intentional community of accountability, moving towards your goal as a believer, being more devoted and not fitting into the perfection culture that sometimes Christianity can unfold. Listen, stay tuned because we're definitely going to let you know how you can join our Patreon community.
Yes, absolutely. Y'all stick around. We have so much of a great show coming up. And in the next couple minutes, we will have our segment, Don't Be Salty. So keep it locked right here. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to You Already Know.
It's Eminem Live Radio.
Stun on me, it's humble for me and I'm keeping it light. Walk in the light and if you want some advice, keep drinking your water, keep God in your life. Saints in the building, if you catch your feelings, I'll be out your way, homie, give me the mic. Don't toy with the story, I write for his glorious fame, gon' buzz like years at a time. 15 years, still got a career, did all that I wanted and I am content. Homie just told me if my color was different, I probably would be much bigger than this. I just believe in the sovereign king, no, I'm not underrated, was meant what was meant. Talking about races, don't mess with no races, the race that I'm baking is running to him. Yeah, I do this for real. Betrayal is real, but being like Jesus, how you do that with no Judas for real? Now that you pop and remember who watching, remember the devil love feeding you wins. All of that money, that fame, and that pride is the very thing that make you easy to kill. Southside baby, stealing on beers. Got no life, I'm standing on gears. 3 days later, we resurrected, all perfected, never no risk. Never no money, never betted on this. Fear no smoke, no stepping on this. Making it plain, I landed on this campaign, and she, yeah, I'm winning on this. Running on this Southside baby, standing on biz. Got no life, I'm spending no kids. 3 days later, we resurrected. All perfected, standing on biz.
I just want to say I vote for Jesus to come back because
my campaign don't need no votes, need no packs, don't need no quotes. My big homies all kingdom folks. Platforms mean none to me, you know. Spec no man for the CC soul. Spec the man for the CC song. Spec the man who respects a woman. Or you step to that man like stepped on snakes, I need it, bro. All of my dogs wanna be heroes. We don't really care about celebrities unless they the ones like Jesus, bro. I am not impressed too easy, bro. Don't care what you got, what you're leaving, bro. You tryna make you an IG brand, but who making fans of the kingdom, bro? It ain't none of my biz. Stand before God on how do we live. He ain't about to ask about the numbers we did. He coming for the you that's in front of your kids. Not for the captions, it's under your pits. Christ crucified my number one pick. My campaign and I'm running in this. Yeah, I'm running on this. Southside baby, standing on biz. Got no life, I'm standing on his. 3 days later, we resurrected. All perfected, standing in him. Standing in him. Standing on what?
Welcome back to You Already Know. It's Eminem Live Radio, and we are hopping right on into a segment that we like to call Don't Be Salty. Listen, the world gives us enough things to complain about, but this is our moment to get it off of our chest, but also a moment to remember. Listen, there's always something bright we can look forward to, something to smile about. So this is your reminder.
Yo, the world's always turning. Good news, bad news, and somebody's mad every time. But here at Eminem Live Radio, we keep it real and we keep it moving. So before you pop off, take a breath and remember, don't be salty. Let's go!
All right, Mia, it's a brand new week. What's got you salty?
Okay, I am salty because Chick-fil-A is holding out on their most faithful customers, me. Okay, so here's what's happening. So Chick-fil-A is demoing their new sandwich, chicken and waffles.
Really?
I thought it was a scam. But it is legit. They're testing out their new sandwich, chicken and waffles. What makes me salty is that they're not testing them out in Georgia. They're testing them out in San Antonio, Texas, and in Baltimore. Why the freak would you go there when Georgia
is your home base?
Is your home base. And I feel like out of anything exciting, brunch related, Atlanta deserves that. That is, you know how much, oh my gosh, you know how well that would do here? And of course, I just feel like we should get certain privileges because Chick-fil-A is based and originated here in Georgia. Mm. And the fact that you're going to the most randomest of places for Chick-fil-A to go to, I would understand, like, okay, New York, LA. You know, I could maybe get that. But nothing against y'all, but what? Why are we going to San Antonio and Baltimore opposed to coming to... Because you know how you told me how they are now demoing... Some of y'all don't know because you're not in Georgia. They're demoing a coffee shop.
A coffee shop.
Called Daybright. And of course, it's in Georgia, like in the boonies, like in Hiram, Georgia. Uh-huh. But either way, it's here. But that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Why would you go to somewhere else? And actually, this is probably the biggest thing they've done since... The watermelon mint lemonade.
Oh, that was so good.
And where everyone, it was actually a really good idea.
Chef's kiss.
They had us in a chokehold doing those things.
Yes.
And for them not to demo that here, I just think that is just so, if I could say this kindly, dumb.
I feel like, yeah, it may seem like we're getting the short end of the stick when it comes to Chick-fil-A trying out their new chicken and waffles, which to me sounds like a brilliant idea. I can't wait till it makes its way over to the Georgia side of the country. But Mia, don't be salty. Because, I mean, when you are CEO, when you are the president, when you are the lead and you have to make certain decisions, you got to make the decisions that make the most sense, right? And I feel in my heart that because, you know how they say America runs on Dunkin'? Georgia runs on Chick-fil-A.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Anything Chick-fil-A does in Georgia is going to hit. It's going to do very, very well because we're home base for them. I feel like what they're trying to do is get that love that Georgia has for Chick-fil-A in different states like Texas. So maybe Texas isn't really digging Chick-fil-A the way that Georgia's digging Chick-fil-A. And maybe they're just trying to get them a little bit of love, try to get them some perks, give them a little bit of inside scoop, if you will, because they're trying to get them to be on the side of having their heart beat for Chick-fil-A the way that Georgia does. You know, they've got to be able to allow the Texans to appreciate Chick-fil-A the way that we do.
They could never be us. They could never be us.
They're not trying to be us, man. Don't be salty. Don't be salty. Because you know what's making its way over to Georgia sometime soon. Bring back that watermelon and lemonade. That's what I want.
We should get it first, though. How is it the best idea you've had in years? You go to San Antonio.
Stop it.
Good old Texas.
Good old Texas. Shout out to our Texas listeners out there, man. Hey,
I love you guys. I'm just saying, but like, think about it.
Me is just a little salty right now.
I'm just a little salty. I'll be okay. Okay, Misa, what's got you salty this week?
All right, so, you know, I meant to share this last week, but not too long ago, your girl just turned 31, you know? My birthday, November 3rd. Shout out to all those November babies out there. It's our month. Stand up. It is what it is, you know? So I'm enjoying my week off. Kimo and I, we decided to take a week off from work and just enjoy being home. Like, really enjoy and soak in the brand new year that I am to experience that God has for me. And I was able to enjoy that. And one of my good friends from church gifted me a box of Lucky Charms. Mm-hmm. And Lucky Charms has always been my favorite cereal, and I've always enjoyed eating it as a kid. So I opened up my gift and saw that it was a big box of Lucky Charms. And I said, you know what? I'm going to make sure that this week I enjoy a big bowl, cold milk filled with Lucky Charms. Of course, y'all know, at this point, I got two small kids. I've got a 2-year-old, I got a 4-year-old. And when I tell you, I just kind of felt like I wasn't really being celebrated the way that I needed to for my birthday, right? So I got my big box Lucky Charms. My girls are lovers of Honey Nut Cheerios. So they had their bowl of Honey Nut Cheerios, and I had mine, and my bowl of Lucky Charms. And, you know, they see something new, and usually kids' eyes go really, really big. Mm-hmm. Like, what is this? Like, what? We got a new cereal in the kitchen. What's going on? So first, my 4-year-old, Mason, she says, isn't that a kid's cereal? Mind you, I just turned 31. And I'm trying to feel, you know, real grown and real mature and whatnot. And out of my 4-year-old, she says these words. Isn't that a kid's cereal? Mommy, that's a kid's cereal. And I just kind of looked at it. And I said, well, no, this is mommy's cereal. And maybe you're a little jealous because you're eating Honey Nut Cheerios. Eat your food. And then I turned to my 2-year-old and she says, I want some Monkey Charms. What we're not going to do is disrespect Lucky Charms, okay? We're not going to call it monkey food, okay? That's what we're not going to do. But I just felt some type of way because I really feel like...
I want some Monkey Charms.
I mean, and do I need to grow up and start eating Raisin Bran? Do
yes,
I need to eat...
Because you need to get your fiber right. I've been eating Raisin Bran since I was 5.
Is it really a kid's cereal?
And I am well off. So, yes, you need to get your weight up. Because put that sugar, that box of sugar away.
Do I need to eat honey
grab
snacks?
Grab you some honey flakes. Grab you, what's them joints? Them, what's, is it, it's not Chex. What is it? It's them joints.
Wheaties?
Wheaties, yeah. Get you some Wheaties. Get you some honeycomb. Put them marshmallows away. Marshmallows for breakfast? Me so what?
I was deeply not in my feelings.
You got clocked by your kids, dog.
Clocked my tea.
That's so funny.
Definitely oh, in so my funny. In my feelings, truly salty.
Well, don't be salty because you got a nutritionist who is your daughter who is looking out for you. And if push comes to shove, and when you stop eating them, the Monkey Charms, Mercy and Mason can eat them for you because Mercy loves her some Lucky Charms. Well, now she likes the marshmallows. Uh-huh. But either way, I think don't feel salty because your kids will just want to see if you were self-aware enough Mm-mm. to know what you was eating.
I'm going to eat my monkey food. I'm going to eat it. And that's been your Don't Be Salty for this week. Listen, it's always something to complain about, but there's even more stuff to rejoice and to praise God for. So just always remember to don't be salty and look on the bright side when it comes to life. That was Don't Be Salty here with Eminem Live Radio.
Listen, man, we'll be right back. Well, no, we're actually going to stay right here and not go anywhere. Shout out to everyone that's tuned in to your girls. Here's what I want to bring up, our Patreon community. Shout out to everyone, a part of our Patreon community, the movement. If you're tuned in right yes. now, leave us a comment or anything. If you are tuned in from our Patreon community, Misa and I started this community in September of this year.
Wow.
And right. I was doing the same thing. It feels like ages ago.
I know.
But that's just how much we've bonded mm-hmm. and been able to grow with our ladies. Shout out to our community, the movement. And we meet up every week and it's just, you know, quality mentorship, focused mentorship, I would say, and intentional accountability. And we really do our best to be able to just form a safe space where it's intentional, people are vulnerable. Because I think the biggest thing that people are not lacking in, but can struggle and lack in is community. Mm-hmm. And we've created that for the women who are a part of our community. And the biggest thing that we're just pushing into them is that it's not about being perfect as a believer. It's about being devoted. That's one thing that God's been teaching Misa and I. And God's been walking with us in that season and us leading them. They've been making strides in their goals, the things that God wants for them to do, and it's just been beautiful to see. We're seeing even the group chat that they all have, man, they would be talking, they'd be yeah. encouraging each other, and it's so beautiful to see because I think community is just so necessary. So if you're looking for intentional community and accountability, wanting to reach your goals, wanting to grow in your walk with God, I want to encourage you to join the movement. And you can go ahead and click the link, I want to say, in the description of this podcast. You can go ahead and sign up, and we would love for you to join this journey that we're on.
Yes, absolutely. Now, Mia, we started talking about some things for this week and what the show topic should be about. And I wanted for us to talk a little bit about, because, you know, like, Thanksgiving's coming up.
Yes.
Thanksgiving's coming up. And with Thanksgiving, and maybe all of y'all can relate to this, or at least some of y'all, there's always going to be some type of family member, somebody to come to the Thanksgiving Day table for dinner and bring up some mess, mm-hmm. or bring up some conflict, mm-hmm. or stir the pot, or just be messy and just be shady and all these different types of things. And, you know, our mission is to help Christian millennials navigate life by pointing them to Jesus. And I'm not going to sit up here and make it seem as if it's easy to solve difficult situations or to face conflict as a believer, mm-hmm. as a Christian, because it's not. There's moments where, you know, we read the Bible and it says to, you know, when one cheek has been smacked, you offer the other cheek. What do you mean by this? You know what I'm saying? How do we face conflict head on as believers and as Christian millennials? And I want to kind of talk about that.
Yeah.
I wanted to lean in a little bit about that and what it looks like for Christian millennials to handle conflict. Have you in the most recent past had a moment where you had a conflicting conversation or interaction with somebody?
Yes. When you say most recent, you mean like
this year?
Oh, this year? I want to say probably within the last a year and a half, 2 years. I've been better when it comes to conflict. I've grown, I think, for mm-hmm. me personally. Now, we're talking like me, like, shoot, three to five years ago. I mm-hmm. think that's a different story, okay. for sure. When it comes to dealing with conflict, I have two viewpoints on conflict. I jump into it when I'm presented to it, but then at the same time avoid it, mm-hmm. just because for me, I don't want to be tempted to go off on you.
Oh, okay.
So to avoid that temptation, I just would avoid conflict in mm-hmm. all, you know, well, I mean, conflict is bad. Confrontation's not bad, but I just wouldn't, my heart would start racing, you know, beating really, really fast, and I would just get really tense and just didn't really know even how to have self-control. I'm not even saying I'm perfect now. I think just it's all about just becoming. But I've gotten better, and I actually have you to thank when it comes to that, because I think, really? I've learned through from you just about being tact, which is about being direct but kind. I even credit my mentor as well. Shout out to Takesha Owebu. She talked about confrontations. I always thought confrontation was like a bad thing, like square up right now. Let's go outside, Vaseline mm-hmm. up, take your earrings off, let's go ahead and fight. That's what I really thought confrontation was.
Yeah.
And it's just us saying, okay, if there's a pink elephant in the room, it's not us saying, man, there's a real loud color up in here. Somebody got some big old tusks and some big old ears. You talking indirectly about a thing, mm-hmm. opposed to saying, there is a pink elephant in the room. Do you see the pink elephant in the mm-hmm. room? So it's us being able to directly talk and address what's happening right now or happening mm-hmm. between us. It's mm-hmm. not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. So I've been good as far as confronting things and having hard conversations. And honestly, I'm embracing it now, really? Which is honestly a miracle because I wouldn't do things like that. Mm-hmm. Even just saying how I feel, even when I think someone could possibly disagree with me mm-hmm. or it could possibly ruffle some feathers, mm-hmm. I'm more open and I'm more likely now to just say how I feel. Mm-hmm. And not in I think the biggest thing that helps with conflict is delivery.
No, it is. It is. So if I could share, like, I'm always in, and I don't want to say always, but it's pretty often when I'm facing moments of conflict or having conflicting conversations. And I work at a church. I work at Stockbridge Community Church. I love that church. Greatest church in the land, if you ask me. And part of my duty every Sunday is, and along with other staff members, we have to protect the focus in the room. And what I mean by protecting the focus in the room, I'm not sure if you've been on staff at a church, but a lot of things that we run into when it comes to issues is babies, being in the auditorium and crying and having outbursts. And just like a little backstory, we just feel like, you know, with so many people dealing with so many different things, you know, you just never know when that special moment is for someone to really make the decision to listen to the sermon and make that really big life-changing decision of accepting Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And a lot of times the enemy likes to distract people, whether it be their phone going off and a text message and it takes you away from whatever the pastor's talking about, whether it's somebody like trying to talk to you during the service and that's not an appropriate time to have a conversation, or when someone is bouncing a baby, and babies are so cute and they don't mean it and they don't have that type of, you know, they don't mean to do it on purpose. A baby is just cute, and naturally your eyes and your focus shift from whatever is going up on stage to the baby, and especially like when mom and dad are trying to like rattle and distract the baby and all that type of stuff to keep the baby quiet, or when the baby has outbursts and constant crying and screaming and stuff, it just takes you completely out of the moment of accepting Christ. So that's the backstory as to why it's important for us staff members to step in and have tough conversations with the mom or the parent that has the baby in the auditorium. When I tell you, every Sunday, every service, because we have three services, I have to take a deep breath, because the moment a baby is like crying or fussy or whining, and it's like the third time, it's getting a little consistent throughout the service. By the time the baby has a third outburst, one of us staff members has to go up and have a very difficult conversation with the parent. I don't know about you, Mia. I never want to have a conversation about a mother regarding their child. That's just like going into the lion's den.
Literally.
Like, as a piece of meat waiting to just get ripped limb from limb, because that's mama bear. You know what I'm saying? And mom is always going to defend their baby. And you never want for anybody to feel embarrassed or uncomfortable. So every single time, and it happens at least like once a Sunday. And usually I'm the one that has to go have these conversations. And my heart is beating fast every single time. And I get really, really nervous. I start like sweating a little bit, because I mean, I too am a mom, and I just know how I would feel if I was in that situation having my baby in the auditorium. And Mia, I literally have to pray to God and ask the Holy Spirit, give me the right words to say. Please give me the right words to say. Please give me the right words to say. Because there have been moments where I've tried to have that conversation, and as nice as I was, it just didn't go right, and mom was just ready to rip my head off. But then there's other moments where I'm like, okay, God, let these words not be my own. Let me just deliver them perfectly the way that you want for me to convey whatever I need to convey to this mother. And I've realized that when I do that, the Holy Spirit does take over. But I also realize that it's not in, like you said, what you're saying, is how you're saying it. A lot of times I believe that us as believers, or just even us as people, whether you're a believer or not, we feel like when it comes to having a tense conversation, everything about you needs to be tense. Everything about you needs to keep the same energy. The energy right now is going to be 10,000 because your emotions are on 10,000. But no. If you just regulate your heart, take a deep breath, calm yourself down a little bit, figure out what you want to say, and deliver it calmly, it's going to come across a whole lot more genuine. It's going to come across as you being serious and you being authentic, while also being direct with whatever you're trying to convey, and also caring for the other person's emotions as well. There's a way in which we can handle this conflicting conversation.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure. Yeah. If I could... Man, that's good. Just because I think a lot of the times, like when you hear things in the Bible where it says a harsh word stirs up anger. Y'all, the Bible is really full of gems. Oh my gosh, Proverbs be hitting. And that's in Proverbs, where it says a harsh word stirs up anger, but a gentle word turns away wrath.
Yes.
That is like strategy. So it's that just proves of how it's not just what you say, it's also how you say it. So just being able to use those things when it comes to people is just essential. Have you ever had a memorable conflict you had that you were either proud of how you handled it, or it didn't go well and you wish you could have did it differently?
And I was proud of how it went, or not proud of how it went. Yeah. I think there's been, in the past, we've gotten so much better at this. Our younger brother, shout out to See Me. We love him. But shout out to him. I think from me being part of a different generation, being the oldest sibling out of the three of us, there's just a lot of difference when it comes to how we're being raised and the different things that we're exposed to. And I think I was definitely well in my 20s, probably like 25, 26. And he was, I don't know, probably just like just marking into his 20s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're that young, when you're 20, you kind of feel like you know everything. Mm-hmm. And I forgot whatever the exact situation was, but I just was not agreeing with what he was talking about. And my brother can be the one to really take it there. He can really match your energy or take it so much higher than what it needs to be and escalate a situation. And I explained to him what my concern was. And yes, I was a little frustrated. So my tone kind of came off a little harsh. Mm-hmm. My words, I didn't say any curse words or anything towards him, but he could tell that I was a little frustrated mm-hmm. at whatever was going on at that moment. And he said some things back to me that I thought were just completely disrespectful, and I sold it to him. Mm-hmm. I just went there with him to match his energy, and it definitely put a dent in our relationship. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like at that moment, I did believe that I was right, because 9 times out of 10, people feel like they're right in an argument. And at that moment, I look back at it, and even though there's moments where I do feel like I'm right, I want to also make sure that the relationship ends right.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I could have checked myself. I could have stopped. You know, when there's moments where you're so frustrated that you just have like word vomit and your word anger, and everything just kind of like comes out to the point where you have lacked and released mm-hmm. self-control. I feel like that was that moment. I was like, I'm already in too deep. I'm going to just tell him about himself. I'm just going to go off, and I want for him to feel exactly how I feel. And at some point, I should have said, put the brakes on. Everyone just stop. Misa, shut your mouth. Be quiet. Just walk away. And I didn't. Mm-hmm. And there were some things that I feel like I said that really hurt his feelings. And, you know, sticks and stones might break their bones, but words will never hurt. That's a lie. Words always hurt. And those are probably some words that I can't take back, that he's going to remember for the rest of his life, no matter how often I apologize. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But there's always a moment where you could just stop and control yourself. You're never out of control.
No.
You always have control.
You determine whether you're in control.
Exactly. Exactly. And when you lose control, you give control to somebody mm-hmm. else. You know what I'm saying? 9 times out of 10, the person that you're arguing with, you give that control over to them. But I did not like the way that I handled it mm-hmm. because I just kept going. I was like, oh, if we're angry, let's be angry. Mm-hmm. If we're mad, let's be mad. If we're frustrated, I want you to feel my frustration. And I didn't use none of my breaks.
Yeah.
It was just nonstop at that point.
I had a bad habit of watching Bad Girls Club. Ooh. So y'all see baddies. Who remembers Bad Girls Club? And I think I was like in middle school when I would be sneaking to my grandma's house and like watching it, like seeing what's going on. And I think now being older, I realized that because I was more timid and I think even back then I didn't like conflict because I would avoid conflict because I didn't want to be tempted to, you know,
mm-hmm. take it there.
So then for, I think I would try to, it was exchanged for timidity. But I think I liked watching those girls because they were so, what I thought was bold and stood up for themselves and things like that. And like, didn't like take nothing from nobody. Also like, around the time, like I was being bullied and things like that. So I was like living, my life like through them. And and Bad Girls Club lasted for a long time.
It did.
Before it got canceled. And I remember one time I was watching, I just like watched this one show, and I was just like, this one girl said like this real fire line, like sassy line, and I was like, oh, that was good.
See, rewind.
We didn't even have rewind back then. Right. Yeah. But I was like, I'm gonna remember that, keep that in my back pocket. And there was a time when a group of my friends went to go see my friend in college, and she was in school in Augusta, and we all traveled to go see her.
Yeah.
And I got into it with one of my friends at the time. And the one thing that I did that I regret now that I am still good at, but I don't do any, I'm trying not to do anymore, is be, she would try to talk to me and I would like ignore her. Mm. So it'd be like, Mia, are you ready to go? Mm. Are you good? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Passive aggressive. Mm. And that's even not good. Because you're not able to directly say what's wrong, yeah. And you're still being aggressive, but you think you're just the kind of, it's still not good for you to be able to do when it comes to dealing with conflict. So, and if there's anyone who can know, I'm like the queen of ignoring somebody. Mm. So, we're all riding together. So, like, she would be talking to me, and she would, like, ask me directly. She would be like, is everything cool? And I'd be like, yeah. She goes, everything's fine. I'm good. Are you good? Yeah. And I'm gaslighting her, being like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Then we ride all the way back to Augusta. It was like a 3-hour drive. Me and her are not talking. We're talking around each other. And she's frustrated because I don't want to talk. And I'm frustrated at her. And I don't want to talk. We talked the next day. A friend got us both on the phone because she could tell that something was going on. Mm-hmm. And she was kind of, you know, my friend had, at the time, she had a history of being fiery. And I was just like, no, I'm going to stand up for myself. And she said something to me on the phone, and I just started going off, like being real spicy, raising my voice, which is crazy. Raising my voice. Mind you, were on the phone.
Then you about to pull out your bad girl quote.
So, because with the bad girl club, she said, match me then. Match me in that case. You know, so my friend who was, I was mad at, she was like, I thought we were just having a conversation and you're raising your voice and I don't know where this is coming from. So I said, match me then. I mean, here it is. You talk this big energy, match me. And boy,
did she match you?
Did she match me? And you should have seen me on the other end of that phone. I went into a small fetal position. Because when I told you she matched me, she did. Wow. And after we hung up the phone, I was just like, whoa, I took that from 0 to 100 real quick. And now we're in a complete, we thought we were bad. Now we are yards far from a good friendship, all because of the things that I watched and the things that I allowed to influence me determine my decisions and how I handle conflict. Mm. So that's something that I think about sometimes where that was like the lowest of low. Where I was conflict-wise, where I'm like, man, I was so young, emotionally immature, and man, the absolute passive-aggressive, mm-hmm. and then raising your voice, and then, of course, delivery, harsh words, you know what I'm saying? Antagonizing.
Yeah.
All those things are the wrong equation for handling conflict.
Oh, me, I'm so glad you said that. So, hey, listen, we have so much more of this great conversation. We're talking about how to navigate conflict as a Christian millennial. And, man, we have so much gems happening right now. And I'm so excited for what's to come in this conversation because, Mia, I feel like what we should talk about next when we get back is what works in conflict and what does not work in conflict. Y'all, stick around. Don't go anywhere. This is another day. It's Eminem Live Radio.
I never knew this could be every day. Read your word but didn't understand what it said. Got to really know you, then it all changed. Now I can see that you're the way. I heard you say, come as you are. Give me your all and I give you my heart. I call on your name, no matter how far. You're right there with open arms. Your love has got me feeling brand new. Grateful for your patience. I needed a savior. I heard you say, come as you are. Give me your all and I give you my heart. I call on your name, no matter how far. You're out
Eminem, and you are listening to your number one source of inspiration for this generation, and we are going in. As always, here in the studio, thank you so much for tuning in. Listen, we are knee-deep in a conversation that we are having about how to navigate conflict as Christian millennials. You know, listen, there's always people that want to get you riled up. There's always somebody that's wanting to bring up something messy from the past. There's always somebody that you haven't forgiven yet. Mm-hmm. And you constantly see them over and over again. Or even the fact that them shady aunties and them chatty cousins are coming for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And you know how it goes sometimes at the Thanksgiving Day table. And we got to try to figure out how to work past that. And even what the Bible says about handling conflict and the best way to handle it. But Mia, you shared such a great story right before we went to break. And it was just talking about how you were influenced negatively by a show that you constantly watched over and over again. Bad Girls Club. That was an old show that was like taking over the 2010s mm-hmm. and had everybody in a chokehold because at that point, reality TV was at its highest.
Yeah.
It was super popular. Sure. And everybody loved seeing girls fight.
Yeah.
Everyone just loved it, you know? But you were watching the show not only because it was somewhat entertaining, but because you were trying to learn how to be bold, how to stand up for yourself. Mm-hmm. And little did you find out that wasn't the best way? That wasn't the best source of influence mm-hmm. and learning for you. But you talked about some things that did not work. And you mentioned like avoidance. You mentioned gaslighting. You mentioned some other things, raising your voice. Passive aggressiveness. What are some other things that you think people experience or routes of taking on this conflict that they do that probably isn't the right idea? Because I do think that just having aggression all together, like approaching the conflict aggressively, is already you starting off on the wrong foot.
Yeah. I don't know why people pleasing came to mind. Just because sometimes, for me, sometimes even when it comes to conflict, you'll just push your emotions to the side or suppress them for the sake of keeping the peace. And that's not helpful either. And I've realized that myself, because I realized that in myself, just because, like, I talk about how trying to avoid conflict all the time. However, now you're doing yourself a disservice by not saying how you feel. I remember a while back, something happened with a friend, and a concern of mine was kind of raised because of something that happened.
Yeah.
And I was like, I feel this way, and I kind of want to be honest about how this red flag that I noticed. And I was kind of like, well, no, I don't want to drag this out. And I just don't want to. But it's like, no, I want to be honest about how I feel. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie, I filtered through it through friends, you, and like, you know, a friend of mine, shout out to my friend Nika, who is a therapist. So it helps being able to filter things through her.
Yeah.
And I was able to come to the conversation, the hard conversation we were having, and say, if I can be honest, I realized this red flag in you that kind of raises some concerns in me. And I didn't know how my friend was going to take that at the time. And so, and she was kind of thrown off. I can probably tell by it. But when I tell you, it wasn't even the fact that I felt good about myself. It was the fact that I felt lighter in the sense that I held nothing back. Mm-hmm. I was transparent. Mm-hmm. I was honest in a way that wasn't harsh mm-hmm. in neglecting to her. Mm-hmm. But it was able to, for me to be able to voice how I feel. So therefore, now I can walk away from the conversation knowing that I'm not holding anything back. There's nothing clouding in my head. Oh, I wish I would have said this to mm-hmm. her. I needed for her to know this. No, I even said everything that I feel. But not even for the sake of keeping it in to please the other person so we can move on. So even with those people who are, what is the word for people who don't like conflict? Non-confrontational, thank you. But people who are non-confrontational, It's important for you to be able to address things head on.
Yeah.
Jesus did that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's important for you to address those things head on. So you can move forward and you're not in the grip, in the grasp of trying to people please the, I don't even want to say opposer because y'all aren't in a battle. The goal is to get to a resolution and you're not going to do that if you're trying to please them.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I think something else that does not work in handling conflict is placing the blame. You know what I'm saying?
I learned that from you too.
You know, or finding the blame. Shout out to our my pastor, Pastor Jeff Dawes. He says to fix the problem, not the blame.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like don't be so fixated on figuring out who it is to blame. No, fix the problem.
Yeah.
Find a solution. You know what I'm saying? Don't find who to blame. Find the solution. And when we're always pointing fingers at people, we're just, I mean, it's just not constructive. You know what I'm saying? So I think that when we're able to address what's going on, not how, you know, not this is what you did, it's this is how it made me feel.
Yeah.
Because it's not really you. It's something, oh man, now we're going into, sorry, I have to finish my thought. When we get to a point where we understand that it's not you that has a problem with me, there's spirits, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like there are principalities and rulers of darkness that is trying to pull people apart. You know,
yeah.
Like the enemy seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And if the enemy can destroy a friendship, if the enemy can destroy our communication, then we have no way of working together. We
yes.
have no way of moving forward because our communication has just been rattled. So why not address the situation for what it is and simply state, hey, this is how I feel. And understand that it's not necessarily the person that's making you feel this way. Understand that there's something else that's there.
Yeah.
We're taught, Mia, to not fight flesh with flesh, you know what I'm saying? And we're not taught to fight against each other,
mm-hmm.
but it's a spiritual battle amongst each other. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. It's just realizing that when we're divided, we can't move forward.
We can't
move forward.
And I'm so happy you brought that up, Misa, because I literally been praying that lately. Has been, God, in the midst of conflict, help me to realize that this is not a flesh and flesh
fight.
Because you fight differently. You have conversations differently. When you realize this is not me and you. Well, what can get in between us mm-hmm. is all spiritual.
Absolutely.
And the one thing I was talking to, shout out to, I was talking to Queen Lee, Aaliyah, shout out to her. And she was just talking about how the enemy just thrives on division.
Absolutely.
And if he can get us divided, not in agreement with one another, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to pray for you. I don't want to be a community. And you can't lean on me when you're going through hard times because we ain't talked in 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like all these things. Mm-hmm. So when you realize quickly that this is not, I'm not battling you, and that there's room for the enemy to like wiggle on in, and I just don't want to give any space
mm-hmm.
for the enemy. Once you realize that, there was something you said that I was gonna, hopefully it'll come back to me. But yes, I think that is a beautiful point of being able to, because I feel like when you do that, you are aware of the outcomes of it. Then the other thing I was going to say, that how to handle conflict is not waiting.
Mm.
You ever meet somebody where they wait to bring up what you did to them? And it's like, that was six months ago.
Yeah.
Why didn't you bring this up then?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because I think that's important, because I think that's when bitterness settles in.
Because
now you sat with it. You thinking about it at night. You're letting your heart harden because of it. Resentment starts to settle in. Your heart is hardened, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like when you don't address things right away. Is that what is it the Bible that says, don't let the sun go down when you're angry? Is that a scripture?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe that's why they say things like that. Because why wait? Because now you got time to think about it. And here it is, the other person thinks that it was not, they did nothing wrong or anything like that. And then you just wait until either a random moment or till something sets you off. And then you explode, but it's at the other person is at the they're at the disadvantage because they're completely oblivious. Yeah. They're like, where is this coming from?
Where does this come from?
So I think that's another thing when it comes to conflict is don't wait. Don't wait too long.
Address it now.
Address it now. Or have an understanding. Mm-hmm. I had a friend where she wanted to talk about things right away, but she was also very like aggressive. Mm-hmm. But also for me, I kind of needed to calm down. So I kind of needed space from you. So we made an agreement and a pact in our friendship. When we sense something, you get 24 hours to cool off.
Oh, that's good.
After 24 hours, you have to call me.
Yes.
Or I am calling you. Mm-hmm. If the person who has the issue has to call. Mm-hmm. I think that's great because it also sets down pride. Mm. And also, but now even if it's in the case of whatever the conflict may be, we now have an understanding. Mm-hmm. We have a standard in our friendship.
So good, Mia.
And so now moving forward, we know how to deal with one another. You good? I'll call you tomorrow. Okay. That's how it went for us one time.
But I feel like that's so good. Yeah. And I feel like that's such a nugget and a tool for a lot of people to just utilize. I mean, marriages can mm-hmm. utilize that. Relationships, mother and daughter relationships, friendships, co-worker relationships, business relationships. And I feel like that's a great segue into what to do. How and when handling conflict.
Yes.
What are some things that we can do? And I think that that's great. You know, now truly, truly allowing 24 hours to come around. Now, mm-hmm. you can't allow it to go past.
Like, no.
After 24 hours, I said, not 24 and a half.
Yeah.
Not 24, not 25, not 48. 24 hours so that you can think things through, process. Because I feel like that's natural. That's human and that's relatable.
Because it gives you even time to... For me, the 24 hours give you a chance to process what happened.
Yes.
But I think for me, it gives me time to, where did I go wrong?
Yeah. Assess your portion.
Exactly.
That's what I feel like is the key. I think doing those things, to me, sets healthy boundaries.
Yes, absolutely.
And I feel like there's nothing wrong with setting a healthy boundary, whether you're friends, whether you're in a romantic relationship. But I also think that it is, I think when it comes to what to do in a conflict. Another thing that you can do is also be okay with saying what you mean and meaning what you say and sticking to that. Mm-hmm. So, like, for example, man, I'm being so transparent with y'all. So, there's moments where I come across this conflict, and it's not as big as, I can't believe you stole this amount of money from me. That's not that. Conflict for me on a more regular basis is people who touch my hair. Right? I work really, really hard on my hair. And I enjoy doing my hair. Mm-hmm. And I feel really great when I go out and I know that it looks really good because I really invest time and energy mm-hmm. in it, and it takes a lot for it to look like this. And so I get excited when, you know, people, like anybody would, when they compliment you on your hair. Oh, you look so good, you look so nice. And I'm like, oh man, thank you so much. Now when it comes to my hair, because I work so hard on it, I don't want for people to be touching it. I don't want for your hands to be in it. And a lot of times people think that it's a wig, and I don't know why, but it just seems like people just want to do this, you know, and you see what you did there? You kind of like lean back a little bit, like, why do you need to touch my hair? Mm-hmm. But it's, they just feel like they need to touch it. And I've always had an issue within myself because I feel like when I tell people, don't touch my hair, that I'm being mean. But I'm not being mean, I'm setting a boundary. Mm-hmm. So I have to learn and I have to practice even to myself how to be direct, but also be kind.
Yeah.
You know, so there's nothing wrong with saying, oh my gosh, can I touch your hair? No, thank you. But thank you for the compliment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So obviously I've been practicing this. So there might be some things that you need to practice in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? And it might seem weird for you to practice how to say no in the mirror, but no is a complete sentence. Mm-hmm. Just simply saying no and not having any explanation mm-hmm. after that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's an answer. That's a complete sentence. And that's a boundary that you set.
Yeah.
Now, when you start allowing for people to be like, you know, when you say, well, no, I mean, well, just maybe and kind of, I mean, well, then other people starts crossing your boundaries.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't like when people touch my hair.
Yeah, even, if I can say this really quick, even when it comes to my niece, Misa's daughter, Mason, she was telling me, of course, I'm picking up her up from school, and she's asking her about her day. I try to remember certain classmates' names, so, like, you know, to pinpoint and ask how they treat her, because I always want to make sure that she has a great experience at school, and she tells me if anything did happen. Mm-hmm. And so she was telling me how this student hit my book bag, and I was like, Wait, what do you mean? Well, what do you mean they hit your book bag? I said, do it to me what this person did. And she had her backpack on and she hit it. And I said, okay, well, if this person does it again, I want you to tell your teacher, Miss So-and-so, so-and-so hit my backpack. And I want you to turn around and look at them and say, don't touch my backpack. And turn back around. And I said, practice on me. And she was like, don't touch my backpack. And I said, no, say with a big voice, say, don't touch my backpack. And I did that only because I don't want for her to be afraid. I didn't say push the student down and hit their backpack back. No, but you can clearly communicate, tell, of course, an adult, but also they can never say, I didn't tell you to not do that. Mm-hmm. And I want for her to get in the habit of defending herself, not defending herself, standing up for herself. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to do that mean. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that harsh.
Yeah.
But you have to say something. Mm-hmm. So I wanted her to get comfortable with saying something.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna leave everyone with this because, of course, you know, when it comes to Eminem Live Radio, our mission is to navigate Christian millennials through life by helping them and pointing them to Jesus. So I wanted to leave with this, which I give to everyone with dealing with conflict. Colossians 3:12, I'm start at verse 12. It says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Mm. I think that I always refer to that scripture for myself. I say it to my middle school girls all the time when it comes to dealing with conflict. And the biggest thing I get from that is you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, that's delivery,
yeah,
and patience.
That also means fix your face. It does.
That's the perfect scripture to land on when it comes to dealing with conflict.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. I really hope that this conversation helps equip you for that coworker, for that shady auntie that might be coming to Thanksgiving, for whoever it is, that neighbor, whoever it is that you happen to be having just friction with. I just hope that, you know, the Holy Spirit go before you, give you the right words to say, calm your nerves so that you're able to clearly, effectively convey the words that you want so that the conflict that you need to resolve can be handled with a simple, easy, gentle conversation. That was our conversation here on Eminem Live Radio. Listen, we've got so much more for you. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to You Already Know.
It's Eminem Live Radio.
I know you done been through a lot. Know you been talking to God. Know you been wanted in once. No wonder the enemy lies. You seen it in heavenly places. The basis to look to the sky. It's sacred, the Savior is mine. He waving that banner, give David a try. The heart of the Father looked harder. You ought to be out of your mind. You thinking too much or not thinking enough. It's giving you stuck. You love when you cuff. It's giving the lust, the love and the love of the brothers who running it up. What if it's nothing new under the sun? What if the number you looking is one? What if the sun is the number you looking? He wanted in one, so come again. You running this fun till he come again. He wants you, it's nothing to come against. It's something I want you to love again, love again, love again.
No, it's rough. Had enough. I've been down. Don't give up. Feeling stuck. Get look up. Feel my cup.
Man, this is for the grown woman
with a head straight and a hands full and the rent paid. And a man who got a cent proved he was that dude. When he got raised, when he got praised, she was that fool. Undignified, we impact shame. It's a cross on the back, edges laid. When the boss on the back, let her pray, go friend. When nobody see you, it's high on the spell, you win. Your God is a keeper, he brought you up out of it then. Call him my twin, cause I know he'll do it again. Do it again, do it again and again and again. Yeah.
No, it's rough. Had enough. I've been down. Don't give up. Feeling stuck. Get look up. Feel my cup.
Back with your girls Misa and Mia from You Already Know. It's Eminem Live Radio, man. Shout out to everyone that tuned into this week's episode. But before you go, can we encourage you? We know we've had like the whole hour to talk, but can we leave you? Let's leave this last 60 seconds with something special just for you. Our 1 minute inspiration, and Misa's got you covered this week.
I was playing a game of Uno one day and around my family, and if you're ever playing Uno, it might as well be a game of spades because there's a lot of trash talking and competitiveness involved. Now, this round of the game, I was dealt a bad hand of cards. Like, I'm talking about no draw fours, no skip cards, and to make matters worse, I should say, I had about 4 cards of the same color. It wasn't looking good for me, y'all. I wanted to give up before the game even started, but I didn't want to go out like that. So I played my hand to the best of my ability using my strategy and a little bit of hope. And I actually won that round, surprisingly. This is what I need you to know. Life will deal you out a hand of cards, right? The ones you hold might not be favorable sometimes, but you gotta stay in the game and play it out. It will take strategy and confidence, but you'll never see the end if you give up now. Listen. And you better believe I got hit with draw twos and even a wild card. But even in those moments, the situation was turning around for my good because the color of the game would change in my favor or I would pick up some game-changing cards. You may have been dealt depression, but keep playing. Maybe you'll pick up therapy. You may have been dealt living check to check, but keep playing. You might pick up a better job opportunity. The moral of this inspiration is to keep playing. The way you start isn't always how you finish.
And that was your 1 minute inspiration brought to you by my girl Misa.
Shout out to everyone who's tuned into this week's show. Whether you tuned in for the very first time or you don't miss a single show, we are so glad you spent the last hour with your girls.
That's right. Tune in next week because we'll have more conversation and more music and more everything for you right here on Eminem Live Radio.
So make sure you are nowhere else but here, same time, same place. But of course, we got to give the credit when it's due. Eminem Live Radio is your number one source of inspiration for this generation.
Engineered and co-produced by K.E. to the M.O., Kimo Jones.
Theme song by Glow.
Written and produced by your girls, Misa and Mia.
And Eminem Live Radio is an Eminem Enterprise production.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to this week's show, but your girls gotta get out of here. Don't forget to be yourself like you mean it.
Always remember that the rain and the storm helps things grow. So if you're walking through a storm right now, don't worry because you're growing from it.
And remember that God is the only everything you'll ever need.
Yes, that's right. Thanks so much for tuning in to your number one source of inspiration for this generation. You already know it's Eminem Live Radio. We'll talk to you soon.